In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this parable about the sower is well known to us. But it ends with a word that perhaps seems odd to us. There could be other words that it could end with. We know the story. I'll go over that in a second, because I never know if everyone understands the story or not in whatever audience I'm in. But let's talk about the last sentence. It talks about the good ground. Now, we do want to be the good ground. If you don't want to be the good ground, then you're not a Christian. To be a Christian is to become the good ground. So this should be the message that is to all of us. It says, on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Why patience? There are many other words that our Lord could have used. He says that God is love, so, and the apostle says the greatest of these is love. He could have said they brought forth fruit with love, or with faith, or with zeal, or with effort, or perhaps even with violence, since the kingdom of heaven is being won by violence. If you understand what that means, it fits. But why patience? It's a very important word. And it's very important to understand why the Lord used that word. Let's go over the parable quickly. The sower, of course, is God, and he sows the word of God, his seed, and it's sown to the whole world. Now, sowing, by the way, is carefully placing seed. Sowing is not just taking seed and throwing it over your head. It is putting it specifically in places, right? But always some gets a little blown by the wind, right? So when he sowed, some of it fell by the wayside, and the wayside is trampled down hard ground. And of course, nothing will grow on ground that's been trampled down and is very hard. And that describes people that really never think of God. It's not important to him at all, them at all. And by the way, those, some of those people are in the church. And then there is that ground that is by the rock. And that is rocky ground, thin ground. The seed can sprout, but when there's any kind of drought, any kind of mishap, it won't last. And then, of course, there is the seed that falls among the thorns. And the thorns choke out the seed as it grows. And, of course, that's worldly cares. Perhaps we would think of ourselves, if we're honest, maybe some mix between the rocky ground and the thorny ground. But the good ground is that ground in which the seed flourishes and grows. And he describes further on that this ground is the ground in which people bring forth fruit with patience. So let's talk about why patience. Farming takes a lot of patience. So this parable of using farming is all about patience. You can't be someone who grows things without being patient. You can't be a Christian and grow without patience. Meekness, spoken of in the Beatitudes, is to be patient. Because the one who is meek accepts everything that happens in their life as by the allowance of or the cause of God, everything under his providence. And therefore, there is nothing that happens in their life that is not for their benefit. And if it is for their benefit, then they can be patient about it, even if it's difficult, even if it's a great trial. I'll tell you some things that destroy patience. It's a long list. This is only a partial list. When we are self-centered, we're not patient. When we have love of pleasure, love of ease, entertainment, we're not patient. Not just about perhaps the thing that we want to do at that moment, but these passions pollute the soul and make us impatient in all of our life, in everything we do. Not only with the things that happen during the day that are minor annoyances that perhaps become great annoyances to us, like traffic or difficulties or dropping some paper or whatever. But we are marked by this, these passions. They make us unruly, unhappy. Other things which destroy patience, certainly laziness. Lazy people are very impatient. They want things their way at the moment they want them. Lust certainly destroys patience, not just for the person who is lusting for a particular person or object, but it permeates all of our life, everything. It's all connected. Disbelief, of course, we would be impatient. A lack of trust, or even more so, when we trust in ourselves, we're very impatient. All these things destroy patience. I think this is why the Lord used this word rather than faith or hope or love. Because the one who loves will be patient. The one who has faith will be patient. In fact, patience is the active part of love and of faith. It's easy to say we love. It's easy to say we have faith. It's easy to say the creed and say, I believe it. But only the patient will live according to it. So patience is active faith, active love, active hope. To be patient takes great courage. Not courage in that someone might hurt you. Not that kind of courage, the courage under fire in war. I'm not talking about that kind of courage. The kind of courage that you will continue with something that doesn't seem to be helping you. Or something that pricks your passions, makes them flare up. I've told people before in confession, if they have some long-standing sin that they're struggling against and they're having bad dreams or having bad thoughts, I'll say, I'll tell you how to get rid of the bad dreams. Just give in to the sin. That'll do it. At least for the short term, absolutely. Because when you give in to the sin, then Satan has you. But that's extreme impatience. That's lack of courage. Lack of standing for the truth. We must not give in to the sin. Now we'll suffer because of it. Things will happen. We'll have hard thoughts. But we must stand. If you read the gospel, it's all about patience. Because patience is acting out our love and our faith for our Savior. Our faith in our Savior. Now, without effort, without reading, struggling, fasting, praying, asking forgiveness of others, all the things that are part of the Christian life, patience will dwindle. Patience will go away. You might not even know that it's gone away. People who are cynical, they're not patient. They're not hoping in God. People who are angry, they're not patient. Patience is quite important. It is us acting out the virtues. I'll confess to you freely. As a priest, I suffer many times when there are things that make me very impatient. I just recently had a sort of an incident, meaning sort of a long-standing thing, because really none of the things I go through are incidents. They're more like long-standing, long-term things with many events during those things, good things and bad things. And I lost patience about something, and my heart felt very cold because of it. And then I felt angry, felt frustrated, and all these things poured in because I'd lost patience. I was ashamed. I'm still kind of getting back to where I'm going to be patient on this particular thing. It's a difficult thing. You all have things like that. Despair is from people who are not patient. Whether it's with a particular sin in their life, a particular difficulty, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, an uncle who is living in a bad way or in some danger. Despair is because we're not patient. Cultivate your patience, brothers and sisters. Our life is so fast and frenetic, that tears away patience. It breaks it down. We must cultivate our patience so that we be the good ground. Now, this is assuming, of course, that you want to be the good ground. And I don't believe all people who call themselves Christians really want to be the good ground. It takes effort to be the good ground. It takes focus. It takes thinking that the things that are spiritual are more important than physical and carnal and temporary things. You must struggle to be the good ground. Now, if you have troubles with that, you've got to work at it. Talk to me about it. Because if you don't want to be the good ground, then you're not a Christian. I'm not talking about how good you are right now. That's not the measure of if you're a Christian. It's how good do you want to be. Because you were born for perfection. If you don't want to become perfect, then you're not a Christian. Really. We live in an age when Christianity is dumbed down to just a few precepts and openness to just about anything. Even in the church, it's becoming that way. Christianity is the soul becoming one with God. That's why you're here. And if you're not patient, you won't get there. Because there's a lot of change that needs to happen. It's a very long journey. And you'll get very tired. How do you build your patience? Well, first of all, you have to have a goal. If your goal is not the perfection of your soul, your union with God, to know Him intimately, personally, to be rid of all your passions, to stop making excuses for all the stuff you do and the stuff you don't do that you should do. If that isn't your goal, then there's no way that you're going to ever possess patience to any degree. Because patience only is given by God for those who are struggling for the things of God. So, how do you cultivate your patience? Have a goal, the salvation of your soul. And pursue it just as much as you would a degree or to be good at a sport or at a musical instrument. Pursue it with zeal, with desire. I've told you before the things that work, all of them. Reading the scriptures. If you're not reading the scriptures every day, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what are you doing wasting your time? Day by day, and not feeding yourself. Do you go without food and water every day? I don't think so. You must read the scriptures. The scriptures teach us patience. There's a lot of examples there of people that had great tribulations. Our Lord, of course, is the first among them. But other examples, look at Thomas. What a marvelous example of patience. Look at the Holy Prophet Moses. He had incredible meekness and patience. You can find examples all over the scriptures. And you can find examples of how to relate to your problems in scriptures. Especially in the Psalter and in the Gospels. You should be reading them every day. If you're not, you're just starving yourself. You're cheating yourself. And of course, prayer. Now, one kind of prayer really helps for this. All prayer helps. And having a regular prayer rule really helps. But sometimes, let's face it, we're not so good at regular prayer. So what are we going to do? Just say, oh, well, I guess I lose? No. You'll get better with effort. But here's the kind of prayer that you must do without fail. Everyone has people in their life that they're concerned about. Sometimes this concern devolves into frustration, anxiety, anger, impatience, which is the umbrella that holds all those things. You must, absolutely must pray for those people in your life that you care about. And by the way, pray especially for the ones you don't care so much about, for your enemies. You must do this. The best thing to do is to pray the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon whatever the person's name is. Do it once. Do it 12 times. Do it 50. Do it 100. Use a prayer rope. Do it every day. If you do this, I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel impatient during the time you're doing it, if you're anything like me. Because that's very difficult to do. Because you can pray day and day for somebody and not see a whole lot of change. Maybe things even look worse. You have to not listen to that. You have to not listen to the voices. That voice, I've told you before, that voice of the servant who came up to Jairus and says, don't trouble the master, your little girl's dead. That voice that tells you, why are you doing this? You don't pray that well anyway. Why would you expect God to hear your prayers? Push through all that. Pray for people you care about. That will help you with patience. That'll help dissolve the frustration, the anger. It doesn't 100% sometimes because of our sins. But I really don't think I'd be able to even exist, function without prayer for others. It'd be impossible because my passions would overwhelm me and make me full of all kinds of bad thoughts, some of which might be true, describing the situation, that is. But they're worthless thoughts. Because the only thought that we should have is to beg God to help our loved one and be patient and wait for him to help. To wait on the Lord, as the scripture says. That's probably the most important way I think you can cultivate patience is pray for others. That way you're not thinking about yourself and you're waiting for the Lord. Because really, we can't do anything for anybody, can we? Not really. You can't change anybody's mind. You can't help anybody to stop doing something that's bad if they keep doing it. But God, in his providence, can help change their heart. You might be part of the agency of that change. Certainly we help in that way. But truly, only with God do good things happen. So you pray for others and you'll learn to be patient. That's how you become the good ground. Thinking more about others than yourself. Not just thinking about them, because thinking about them just brings you to bad thoughts. You have to pray for them. And then you will grow in patience. This is a hard lesson for me that I've learned. I wish I learned it a long time ago, when I had a lot less turmoil in my life. You learn it. Do it. You must be the good ground. Or else if you're not striving to be good ground, you're not a Christian. And the only way you can become this good ground is with patience. So brothers and sisters, may God help you to cultivate patience in your life, especially by prayer for others. Amen.